When an individual began at the same scripture, another individual learned of the Christ and obeyed the commands of Christ. Today we will begin at that same scripture. That's right here from the International Gospel Hour. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. We're so glad you've decided to listen to our program today. In a world of challenges, we need God's Word to help us face those challenges. Thank you for joining us in this period of Bible study with our speaker, Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour, a broadcast of the Churches of Christ. So let's listen today. Here's Jeff.
Well, thank you to our Jay Webb for his kind words, and greetings and hello, everyone. Great having you with us again for our studies from International Gospel Hour. We have been on the air or online since 1934, and we are blessed that you have joined us today. We come to you under the oversight of the elders of the West Fayetteville, Tennessee Church of Christ, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee 37334. That's P.O. Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee 37334. Our website is internationalgospelhour.com, and you can always reach out to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at our toll-free number, 855-444-6988. That's 855-444-6988. And again, our mailing address is P.O. Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee 37334. We love to hear from our listeners. If you have a moment, you can drop us a line or a message through our website or maybe just a phone call and let us know where you are hearing our broadcast. We would be honored to hear from you. Let's consider a passage from the Old Testament as we turn to Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." Now let's take that passage in Isaiah, and let's go to the book of Acts in the New Testament, to Acts the 8th chapter, and let's begin with verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So friends, let's see what happened when Jesus was preached from the Old Testament. And in a few moments, we're going to begin at that same scripture as did Peter, and we are going to preach Jesus. But before we do that, allow me to pause for just a matter of seconds as our Jay Webb has a few words about some of our fellow laborers from here at International Gospel Hour.
Please check out our fellow laborers at housetohouse.com, an outstanding website for topic research, an excellent media section, and some free materials. While there, please request a free copy of House to House, Heart to Heart. Check it out today at housetohouse.com.
Beginning at the same scripture, friends, let us see this suffering servant. I think of that hymn that says, "Tell of the labors, or tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor." That beautiful hymn, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." Let's look at a couple of words from our text. When we see that he was oppressed and afflicted, the word oppressed in the Hebrew is a very specific word which means to drive an animal, a workman, a debtor, an army, or by an implication to tax or harass and to cause distress, to drive, to be a taskmaster. So Jesus was oppressed, he was driven, he was harassed, he had much distress upon him. As the Hebrew writer mentioned in Hebrews 5 and verse 7 of his tears and his agony. We also see the word afflicted, and as defined, it means to be looking down or a browbeating, to depress. Not only that, but to chasten one's self, to defile, to hurt, to try to force submission, to punish and inflict pain upon. When you and I look at the definition and the meanings of these words through biblical sources, we see that Jesus had much laid upon him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, he was driven, he was harassed, he was beaten, he was punished, of course, through the cross. Pain was inflicted upon him along with his scourging and the suffering of Jesus, but he did not open his mouth. In Luke's account of Luke 22, verses 66 through 70, the question was, "Are you the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "You say that I am." What about Matthew's account in Matthew 27, verses 12 through 14, when Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "You say." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So friends, as we begin at the same scripture, and we are sitting in a chariot, if you will, with Philip and the eunuch, we see the suffering of Christ. We see why he suffered for you and for me. Imagine this eunuch learning, "Jesus suffered for me." Second, beginning at the same scripture, let's see the lamb that was led. You know, throughout the Old Testament, the little lamb was used as a precious offering unto God for redemption. We know that, for example, from Exodus 12. However, the Lamb of God would be the one and only sacrifice for mankind. Think of the words of John when he saw Jesus coming unto him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," John 1, verse 29. May we return back to Peter in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and following, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." And then we note from Revelation 5 and verse 12 of those voices, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." So friends, if I'm in the chariot with Philip and the eunuch, I am reading that this man, this one Jesus, took away our sins and gave himself for us that we might live. So now not only do I see sins that he suffered of because of my sins, but now he gave himself that I might live. Beginning at the same scripture, let's see the sheared sheep. Now, friends, I find this rather interesting because I was wondering about shearing sheep. So I am indebted to the agricultural school at Purdue University, and I learned a few things that are profitable for shearing sheep. For example, shearing is generally carried out in the spring so sheep don't become overheated in the summer. Now, that tells me there is a right time, the best time for shearing to be done. Well, now let's think about this in a spiritual way. There was the right time for our Savior to come to earth and die for us. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, we learn that he was born of a woman, born under the law. The time had come. The prophecy of old of Genesis 3:15 that Jesus would come to this earth, and even in the eternal purpose of God, Ephesians 3:9-12 and Revelation 13:8. There was the right time for the Savior to come. Here's a second lesson I've learned about shearing sheep. A bulky fleece decreases the mobility of the sheep. So when you look at the shearing of our Savior, if you will, it lightens our load. The bulky fleece decreases. He tells us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Matthew 11:28-30. And we are able to walk with spiritual mobility to forego the weight of the world, Hebrews 12:1, only through Christ, our sheared sheep, for us. Also, shearing keeps stained wool and mud-contaminated wool separate from the new fleece growth. Well, the shearing of our Savior keeps the Christian refreshed daily. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So when we see that he was led as a sheep before its shearers is silent, and I note that about shearing sheep, then I learn that by him being sheared, that keeps me saved, keeps me faithful as his child of God. Will I accept the word of the Lord and apply it daily? So if I'm sitting in that chariot with the eunuch and Philip, and I'm learning of this Jesus, I learn more of what he did for me. And I must understand that I need to obey him. I want to pause here for just a moment, just for a little less than 30 seconds, and allow our J-Web to share with you something else about our work at International Gospel Hour, and then we'll be back to continue our study.
The International Gospel Hour app is available for your iPhone or Android. A free download awaits you at the App Store for iPhones and Google Play for your Android. Just search International Gospel Hour and download our app free. Our app allows access to our study resources all in the palm of your hand. Please download the International Gospel Hour app today.
And now, friends, beginning at the same scripture, let's now see the tainted trial. Now, notice our text where he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? The tremendous humiliation that we see repeated from Acts 8:33. Before Caiaphas, he was slapped by an officer, John 18:19-23. That was actually illegal, folks. Not only the slap, but even Jesus reminded them that they were to ask of witnesses not to interrogate him at that point. False witnesses who were brought against Christ, they could not even agree among themselves, Mark 14:55-59. I am indebted to one of my former teachers, Brother Wendell Byrd, who shared with our class a list of illegalities against the Jewish law. things that were done to Christ that were against the law at that day and time. For example, the law said you couldn't arrest anyone at night if they were to be put to death. Well, we know Jesus was arrested at night, taken from the garden. Second, the law said before a man could be arrested, he must be accused of a specific thing. And the Jews made their charge after Christ was arrested. Third, the law said you couldn't arrest a man because you didn't like him. Well, the Jews did. They did arrest him because they just didn't like him. They hated him. Fourth, the law states that a friend couldn't have you arrested. Well, Judas, who told the Roman officials about Jesus, was his friend. Did not Jesus even say in front of those Roman soldiers, "Friend, why have you come?" Number five, the law said a person couldn't be tried at night if the trial was concerning his life. But in Matthew 26, verse 57, Jesus was tried at night. How about number six, where the law said that a trial could not be in just one day if a man's life was at stake, and Christ's trial was in one day? The law said that a trial could not begin on the day before the Sabbath because they did not meet court on the Sabbath. But yet Christ's trial was the day before the Sabbath. In number eight, consider, the law stated that a man could not be railroaded, yet Jesus was by his own people. Number nine, the law stated that anyone who wished could attend the trials of a prisoner. Well, this was not true with Christ because we know Peter did not attend the trial. He stayed off and away. It was his choice. The law said that a man, actually this is number 10 if you're keeping the count, the law said that a man who was facing death, that his trial must be in the temple. But this was not true with Christ. He was tried at the palaces of Caiaphas and Annas, respectively. Number 11, the law stated that no man could be convicted on his own words. Christ was crucified on his own statement when Caiaphas asked him, "Was he the Son of God?" Jesus replied, "You have spoken." And 12th, the law said that a person who was to be put to death must have at least one person on his side to vote in his defense. Yet Christ did not. Jesus, in Matthew 26, 53 through 54, before that trial, said, "Do you not think that I, or rather, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But then how shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? And the preaching of Peter and John in Acts 4, 26 through 28, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Folks, we can see the tainted trial of Jesus. I mean, who would declare him? He was taken from prison and from judgment, or in other words, taken away from the fairness. Beginning at the same scripture, let's see the crucified Christ. He was cut off of the land of the living. His life was taken from the earth, Acts 8:33. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or brought to life by the Spirit." And friends, the Bible records these simple words, "And they crucified him," Mark 15:24. What wondrous love for you and for me. And Jesus said in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now again, I'm sitting in the chariot with Philip and the eunuch. I'm looking at this scripture. I'm learning how he was treated and all of that for me. And I see his crucifixion for me. So then, beginning at the same scripture, let's see the propitiation price. "For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Jesus is called the propitiation. A word defined means that he appeased God. He was the removal of wrath. He was the one through whom God placed to remove the wrath upon us. We see how this word is used in the Scripture. Romans 3:25, speaking of Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It's through Christ we are able to have those remission of sins. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2, verse 2. And herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4, verse 10. He is our propitiation. He is the removal of wrath. He paid the ultimate price. So I'm sitting there with Philip and the eunuch in the chariot, and I'm learning this, and I'm learning about this price that he paid, the blood of Christ. I see how he was treated, and I see all of this is for me. So friends, when Jesus was preached from the Old Testament, what happened? I pick back up with Acts chapter 8 and verse 36 with Philip and the eunuch. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now friends, when we preach Jesus Christ, we see his suffering, we see what he endured. We see that he was crucified and he paid the price. How did all that bring the eunuch to understand baptism, to understand faith? Well, earlier in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, Acts 8 and verse 12 spoke of his preaching. When he preached about the kingdom, when he preached about the name of Christ, they were baptized, men and women. Friends, when you preach Jesus, you can't help but to preach faith in Jesus. You can't help but to preach repentance, because Jesus taught that. You can't help but to preach confession, for he taught that in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and repentance in Luke 13 and verses 3 and 5. And friends, you can't help but to preach baptism when you preach Jesus, because did not Jesus say, in Mark 16:16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." And so here is this eunuch requesting baptism after studying about Jesus. So friends, if we want to go on our way rejoicing, then maybe it's time, based upon our faith and our repentance and our confession, that we go down into the water and we be baptized. You know, in Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized, the Bible tells us how they were individuals who were added to the church. Acts 2, verse 47. Did not Jesus promise to build his church? Indeed he did. Matthew 16:18-19. These are things that are worthy of our consideration and worthy of our thought, friends, for our souls are at stake. I think of the baptism there in Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And we see that our sins are remitted through the death, the blood of Christ. We see that from Hebrews 9, verses 22 and 23. Friends, we need to think on these matters, do we not? And like the eunuch, you may be sitting in the chariot, you're reading, and you want some guidance. I want to pause and share with you through our J-Web, our Bible study course by mail. Great way to begin while you're sitting in your chariot let us help you in your study of the Word of God. Here is our Jay Webb with our final offer today.
Our well-received Bible study course by mail is available to everyone absolutely free. Would you like to try it? All you do is call us toll-free at 855-444-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say home study. That's it. That's all you have to do. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type home study in the message box. At your own pace, you can study the Bible in your own home. Again, it's free. Give it a try, and it's from your friends here at International Gospel Hour.
Well, friends, what a wonderful study today to consider the life of Jesus Christ, to look at His life and what happens when Christ is preached from the Old Testament, to where Philip and the eunuch took that reading of Isaiah, brought it forth for a thorough understanding and its application for us today. We hope that you will consider the words that we have brought forth to study and search the Scriptures to see the accuracy therein. And if we can be of help to you with anything, all of our offers are free, and we will be glad to be of assistance to you at any time. We'll continue our studies together at another time, but for now, thank you for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and friends, keep listening.
Thank you for listening today. May this study prompt your search of God's Word for His will in your life. To assist you in your study or to listen to our other programs, please visit our website at internationalgospelhour.com. To God be the glory.
God be with you.